The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum of Accelerated Government Strategies, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum from Accelerated Government Strategies, providing advisory consulting for innovative startups to help grow government revenue. Every week, Aileen and Gigi welcome Washington, D.C.'s most ambitious and influential female executives who are taking risks to engineer success and shape the future. Women of Washington on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Now your hosts, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
And I'm Gigi Shum.
Today, our guest is Soraya Correa. Soraya is the Department of Homeland Security's Chief Procurement Officer. In this role, she provides leadership, policy, oversight, support, and professional workforce development for the DHS contracting workforce of approximately 1,500 individuals, including the 9 operational contracting activities, each of which is led by a head of contracting activity supporting the DHS components. But first off, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
So let's begin with your background a little bit. Virtually all the successful women we speak to had an influence growing up. What was your biggest influence or inspiration growing up?
I think my biggest influence and inspiration growing up were my grandmother and my mother, especially my grandmother. She was a very strong woman. And from her, I learned to have character, to have strength, to maintain a positive attitude and to always pursue the things that I wanted to pursue, to not let anything stop me from going forward. I would say she was probably my biggest influence.
Now, was she first generation in the United States, second generation?
So my family is originally hails from Puerto Rico. So she was an American citizen by birth, in essence, and she lived in New York for most of her life. And so, but she was a woman that for her time was well ahead of her time. She was very independent. She was married young, but she got divorced young. She lived by herself for a long time, raised her children, found her own way, her own career. She never really depended on anybody. She was a very independent, fiercely independent woman. And I think I learned a lot of that from her.
Wow. You know, you're talking 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. That is hard in the United States, especially in New York City. Mm-hmm. What part of New York City did she live?
So I was born in the Bronx and she lived in the Bronx. We moved here when I was like 9 years old, believe it or not. And eventually my grandmother actually joined us here later on in life.
Your degree is in management, and you also have an undergraduate certificate in acquisitions management. So when I read that, it sounded like you knew from the get-go that you wanted the career that you currently have today. What made you choose? Is that true? And what made you choose management early on as a major?
So a couple of things. First of all, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do career-wise. So I actually took a job in the federal government. I was actually looking for a job while I was going to school at night and figuring out what I wanted to do. And my father has worked in the federal government for almost 40 years, and he was in the procurement field working for the General Services Administration. So that's how come I happened to apply for a job at GSA. I just went in and applied for a job and took a clerk typist job, and wasn't really sure that I wanted to stay in the government, but I was going to school at night, working during the day, and I worked in a construction contracts office, and I became interested in the contracting profession. And that led to my starting to pursue that career. Now, the interesting thing about my degree and the story that I like for a lot of women out there to know, especially, is that I didn't finish my degree right away. I took a lot of breaks because I had a job where I had to travel quite a bit when I joined the Navy immediately after leaving GSA. And then life happens, and we took care of my grandparents, and eventually they died. So I went back and forth to school, and I actually graduated and got my undergraduate degree when I was already a GS-15 in the federal government. So I'm an example of you can do whatever you want when you want to if you just pursue your dreams, if you really pursue the career goals that you want, if you really work hard at it. And if you never give up, you can complete that education. And I tell women that all the time, because there are many women out there who go out there and they have their families and they think, well, now I'm too old. No, you're never too old. You can do whatever you want. You can start that second career whenever you want. I have a lot of military wives that come to work for us, and they've spent their life, you know, pursuing different jobs because they're following their spouse around across the world, if you will, on military deployments. And I understand that. And I tell them, no, now you can settle on your career. Your husband retired. Good. Now let's see what we can do for you. So I encourage women, don't stop. Men and women, actually, don't stop. You can go back to school anytime you want. There's nothing wrong with that.
Today we're talking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. I love your advice there about going back to school and continuing your education. I think even after you get your degree, you need one of the secrets to success is having a thirst and a commitment to continued learning. Yep. Now, Gigi and I both have four kids each, and I have kids that are in college, just graduating, and this generation seems to be so focused on having this big, tense, you know, strategy for their long-term career. You know, it sounded like you got out and you kind of learned what you wanted.
Exactly.
What would you say to somebody at that age right now that, you know, how should they start their career, especially, you know, for the government? Your first job was right out to the government.
So the first thing I tell folks is, what is your purpose? Are you looking for a job or are you looking for a career? I was looking for a job. I wanted to make sure I had a job. The second thing I tell folks is, now you're in a job. Do you like what you do? And if you like what you do, then pursue it. And get smart about it. Go out, find people that can tell you about that job, what the career options are, and then start mapping it out for yourself. The other thing that I always tell people is don't count on someone giving you a job. Go pursue it yourself. So one of the things that I often talk about in my career is no one handed me promotions. I promoted myself. When I felt I was ready for the next level, I got on what's now USA Jobs. I don't even remember what it was called back then because I'm so old, right? But I would go out and pursue the next step. I would say, okay, I'm ready for the next promotion. Let me start applying for jobs. And I got jobs that way. And then what I did was got into an office and made sure that I worked really hard and I demonstrated that I had that skill, that capability, that I further developed myself. I always pursued my training options and I always made sure that I stayed current on my certifications. And I made sure that I stayed current on what was going on in my career field, how it was changing. But when I was ready, I didn't go into the boss's office and say, are you going to promote me? That's nuts. I would say, let's see what's out there, what's available. The other thing that I also did, I embraced change. I learned that it is important to have varied experience. So I moved around in the federal government. I didn't stay in one agency, not because I didn't want to stay at those agencies, but because I saw opportunities in others. I saw an opportunity to see a different side of the job, to see different aspects, to work with different people. And I think that where that really helped me was to better embrace change. In other words, when people come up to me today and they go, oh, you know, there's going to be a change in the organization, I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's figure out how we do this. And I'm one of these people that sees change as opportunity. I get it that sometimes the change might not be for the better, but I always try to find the good side of the change. And I always tell folks that attitude, when you have a really good attitude about your job, about what's coming, about the changes that you might confront, when you have a really good attitude, people gravitate to that. The people that work for you, but also the people you work for. They want people who are going to be positive and going to inspire and motivate others to embrace that change. So I always encourage people, move around, make changes. It's a good thing. It's good experience. Even a bad experience is a good experience because you always learn.
Soraya, you have been at the government for over 30 years and at DHS, if you include your time at the components, for over 20 years. As you just said, you've had a lot of different experience, but the average job tenure in America is 4 years. Mm-hmm. Were you ever tempted to leave the government?
So, yes. And actually, I have 36 years. Thank you for not saying that. No, just kidding. No, I have 36 years of federal service.
But you did start when you were 10.
I was very young. But here's the deal. I probably would say that I averaged probably about 2 to 3 years per job. And what I would also say is that I didn't move until I felt that I had accomplished what I came to accomplish. And as I became more senior in my positions, like where I am now in the senior executive service, I started staying a little bit longer because I think it takes 3 to 5 years for a good leader to really develop an organization. So what I tell folks is it's okay to move, but be careful you don't move too much. You know, moving every year could muddy up your resume. But I find that it's about the learning. For me, it is always about the learning and about not becoming complacent. Because I do think that if you stay in a position too long or you stay in an organization too long, you start to become complacent because you know what the patterns, you know the behaviors, and you're not as on your toes. So I hope that answered you.
Absolutely. If you were talking to a young person just coming out of college, would you recommend a career, a lifelong career in the federal government?
I would recommend. So I stayed in the government because it made sense for me to do so. A couple of times I contemplated industry, but because of the retirement system that I'm in, because of the job that I was doing, because I understand the level of responsibility I have, and I frankly have a passion for the federal government. I have a passion for the missions that I support and serve. I am about public service. So that's probably why I didn't move. But I think that the options today are easier to go back and forth between the federal government and private industry. So I would encourage somebody to take advantage of both because there's such great learning opportunity in both. Now, the good news is I get the private industry side because my husband works for private industry. So I educate myself at home, right? But I, you know, sometimes I think about that. I think, you know, how my career might have been different. Maybe I might have advanced a little bit faster if I had had the opportunity to go out to private industry. But again, I'm passionate about, you know, being a part of the federal government. I'm passionate about the missions I've supported. And so I'm just thrilled to be a part of the Department of Homeland Security. And I don't know that I would change that.
Today, we're speaking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. Coming up, we'll ask Soraya about her role at DHS. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today, we're talking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for Department of Homeland Security.
Soraya, you are responsible for over $40 billion in government acquisitions. I mean, wow, that's an incredible responsibility. The federal government often gets criticized for being too slow and too cumbersome in its acquisitions, particularly those related to technology. You established the Procurement Innovation Lab, or PIL, I guess it's known as, last year, which embraces the fail fast mantra so popular in Silicon Valley. What are some of the successes that you've experienced in the past year as a result?
Sure. So first of all, one of the reasons I created the Procurement Innovation Lab is that recognition, because I've worked in the IT environment and I've worked in the procurement, so I've been the customer of procurement. And I understand the reasons why sometimes procurements take a little bit longer than we'd like, sometimes excessively longer than we'd like. So my focus and my goal as the chief procurement officer is to improve the process overall. I want to improve the experience for the contracting officer, the program manager, the IT specialist, whoever's involved in the process, and even for industry, because just as painful as it is for us, it's painful for them as well. And we know that they expend quite a bit of resources pursuing opportunities. So I created the Procurement Innovation Lab so we can identify ways to improve the procurement process, whether it's the evaluation, the solicitation, it doesn't matter, whatever aspect of the process or whatever back office business processes we can improve to make the process go better. So the Procurement Innovation Lab has been in effect for a little over a year, and we've improved areas such as contract closeouts. We have an initiative going on right now to improve the contract closeout process, because if I can take off the table those low-risk contract closeout activities as quickly as possible, possibly over 300,000 I think we've already identified, then the contracting officers can now focus on the larger actions, the ones that really require attention for closeout. The other thing that we've done is we've looked at how we evaluate proposals, and working with some of our program offices, especially some of our CIOs, both at USCIS, at headquarters, and across the department, we found ways to evaluate the technical factor of a proposal by demonstration or by conducting a test where we give industry a problem, we invite them in to bring their team, and they can come in and demonstrate that solution or work that solution right in front of us. The evaluators are in the room, taking notes, evaluating how they're doing, and then they can go to consensus evaluation at the end of the day. The other thing that we've done is looked at a different form of an industry event. Through the Procurement Innovation Lab and a larger initiative that I have called Acquisition Innovations in Motion, which is about the PIL and about improving communications with industry and improving our procurements, What we do is host learning events where we actually talk to industry about our business processes. This is without any solicitations in front, purely for informational purposes, where we talk to industry about our business, our business processes. But also we have what's called a reverse industry day. I've hosted two events. I'm about to host a third, where we invite industry to come talk to us about their business processes. Because I believe that when industry and government better understand how each other impacts each other's businesses and what drives us, what motivates us, we're going to do better business deals. And the other thing that we're trying to do a little bit more of is talk to industry well in advance of a solicitation going out, making sure that we're talking at a strategic level when the opportunity is ripe for us to share information and for industry to take that information and start thinking about how they might help us solve some of our problems. We've had many successful procurements. One of our first procurements where we shrunk the lead time substantially was an Einstein procurement. It was a classified procurement for our cybersecurity folks. But the projected time to get the procurement done was originally 6 months. That's what it would have taken. We thought we could trick it down to 120 days. We were able to get it down to 89 days through oral discussions and those kinds of things. We have a broad agency announcement out through our science and technology division to work with startup type companies, companies who normally do not do business with the federal government. Through that process, what we did was studied how venture capitalists work with startup companies, and we created a solicitation that's very similar to the kind of questions that they would answer for a venture capitalist so that we minimize the amount of paper that they have to submit. Then the second thing we did was said, we'll evaluate that proposal when it comes in, and then we'll call you in for a 15-minute pitch, and at the end of that pitch, we'll tell you if you'll have a contract. That's unusual, very unusual in government. And the really nice thing about that is we've awarded about 5 or 6 actions from when we notify the company that they would get a contract to when we make contract award. The shortest lead time has been 10 days. The longest one has been 45 days. So we're having successes. And when you have successes, people get motivated and inspired to be a part of that. And then the last thing I'll say about the pill, it's not just about doing. It's about teaching others how to do. So one of the things that we host is biweekly webinars where we invite the people in who implemented the innovation to go out and talk about it and educate the rest of our staff. And when I say our staff, not just procurement, I'm talking the entire acquisition community, program managers, CIOs, engineers, et cetera. So it's really exciting times at DHS.
One of the approaches you've embraced since becoming the chief procurement officer is to have a very close partnership with the DHS CIO, Luke McCormick. In fact, you're often interviewed together or publicly referenced the close relationship. That kind of partnership does not normally exist between the tech user and the tech buyer. Why do you think this partnership is important and has it helped you in your mission at GSA? At DHS?
Yes. Well, first of all, yes, it certainly has helped me in accomplishing my mission and helped Luke McCormick, our CIO, in achieving his mission. So I think the partnership is important. I think it's important for the chief procurement officer and for the procurement team in general to always partner with their customers. Wherever we can come together and better understand each other's businesses and make sure that we're communicating a common theme to our industry partners, to our stakeholders. I think that's really important. It's important to understand each other. And we both have a very heavy lift. The Department of Homeland Security, by virtue of its mission, what we do, protecting the homeland, is a huge and very critical and essential mission. And we both have a duty, and the entire management directorate, that entire CXO suite, if you will, CFO, the CPO, the CIO, all of us, have a huge mission because we enable the mission through our purchases, through the technology that we deploy. We hopefully make it easier for our operators to get the job done for that frontline team. So we need to partner together to find solutions and find them quickly, effectively, and efficiently. I believe that that partnership has to continue to thrive and grow. It doesn't matter who's in the job. And I think we lead by example. When people like Luke and myself come together and talk, we're showing the rest of the team this is how we should be working together. And we have seen an improvement in the relationships between the CIO community and the procurement community because of the partnership that we've developed. And this is a partnership that goes beyond just Luke and myself. I do this with Dr. Brothers and other people, Dr. Schneck over in cyber. I mean, I am out there trying to reach out to those customers and saying, how can I help you? How can I, through my business process, enable you to do your job? Because that's really why we're here. And that's what I care about.
You're such a great example for others to follow. Have you had a chance to talk about the success you had with other components of the federal government like GSA?
Yes, actually, I have been invited out. I'm a part of the CAO Council, the Chief Acquisition Officers Council that the Office of Federal Procurement Policy hosts. And I participate in those meetings regularly. And I join quite a few forums where there are procurement exchange forums with industry as well as government, where we talk about how we're changing the dynamic. Because here's the thing, I think a lot of folks don't really know what happens behind the scenes in the government. There are a lot of us that really truly understand the importance of forming the partnership, of improving the business processes, of making sure that we're doing the very best job possible for the taxpayer. Because what a lot of people seem to forget is federal workers are taxpayers. We pay taxes too. And so we want good government. We want to do the right things. We care. We care about the missions we support. In fact, I'll tell you, that's probably one of the biggest reasons that I'm still in government and that I chose to be a leader in government, because I can't remember a time that I didn't work in an office where the people were so passionate, so committed about the mission that they were supporting, whether they were in procurement, finance, IT, or in the actual mission office. These people care about what they do, and we believe in what we do. And so I try to get the word out. I try to come and do interviews like this, but I also talk to my counterparts. I invite my counterparts to come and participate in some of the events that we host, like with industry or some of the interviews that we give, so that we can share ideas, because I think that's how we're going to make our government great.
Today, we're talking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. Coming up, we'll ask Soraya about mentors in her career. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today, we're talking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. I want to go back to a comment that you said earlier about being active and getting out there. You've been very active in several organizations, most notably ACT-IAC, where I think you are the Executive Vice President. Why is being involved in organizations like ACT-IAC so important?
Well, I think one of the things that I've learned later in my career is how important the networking aspect of your career is. Getting out there and making sure that you meet your counterparts in both industry and government, whether state, local, or federal government, and sharing and exploring ideas, learning from them and helping them learn from you. So I've tried in these last probably 10 years of my career to be a little bit more actively involved and get out a little bit more and talk about the things that I'm doing and hear from others and get to know who my counterparts are and what they're thinking about, what drives them and what motivates them. I also think that it's important to do these things because that's part of leadership. It's part of leadership to really get out there and get information and bring it back to your organization. And one of the things that I probably am most profoundly proud of is my ability to lead my team. I am very passionate about my employees, about my peers, and about my leadership, but I'm extremely passionate about my employees. I believe that I'm there to lead, guide, and help them, not only through the work, the day-to-day work, but even through their career. So I take a very close and personal interest in making sure that I know and understand what the needs of my employees are. And I'm not going to know and understand that. And I'm not going to know and understand what they're thinking if I'm not out there hearing what's going on around us. So I try to be as involved as I can be with these organizations. Sometimes it's a little difficult because I am also trying to make sure that I remain engaged with industry as well, participating in industry events and making sure that they're hearing what's going on from a work standpoint. But I try to be a mentor to others, and I consider it mentoring for me, believe it or not, when I go out and talk to these organizations and hear from my peers.
Well, that's the perfect lead in to our next question, which is about mentorship. And we always talk about mentorship on this show. So have you had important mentors in your career?
Yes, I have. Interestingly enough, early in my career, I probably didn't realize that some of these individuals were mentors, but there were people that either through the job, you know, through a supervisor relationship or sometimes through a peer relationship, became my mentors. And I sought their advice and I tried to better understand myself through them, because I think that's what mentoring is really about. It's an opportunity for you to really explore what you're thinking, who you are, where you want to go through others by hearing different perspectives. Later in my career, when I understood what a mentor really was, I sought out certain mentors. And one of the things that I always tell folks about mentors, they don't always have to be in your career field. They don't have to be your gender. They don't have to be in the same ethnicity. In fact, the diversity of having multiple mentors is extremely important, because there are things that you're going to want to explore with different people. Last but not least, one of the things that I also say is mentoring is about giving back. And so one of the things that I do and do very often is find time to be a mentor. When people approach me, whether they want me to be their mentor because they're interested in leadership or a procurement field, or they just want to talk to someone that seems to be successful, I try to give of myself, because I think it is very important to give back. And I also believe that if you believe you're a good leader, then you should be sharing with others, hopefully creating good leaders for our government in the future.
Soraya, you have worked your entire career with the federal government, and it's important that the government be able to recruit the best and the brightest graduates coming right out of colleges now. So this can be a real problem, right? How do you think the government can compete with the private sector to recruit, especially millennials that are coming into the workforce, when private sector is able to offer things like stock options and, you know, maybe some additional perks that aren't necessarily available from the federal government?
So first of all, I think a career in federal government is, while you're not going to get rich, or at least I haven't gotten rich, let me say it that way, there are many benefits to working for the federal government. One of the things that we do very well in the federal government, depending on the career field, is your training and certification. We run training and certification programs, and we support that. The other thing that I think the government does very well is on its leave policy. So there are certain benefits to working for the federal government. I think the single biggest benefit that I would put in front of people is the opportunity to impact people's lives. Virtually every agency in the federal government is in some way impacting people. And what I've found is a lot of us, when we're coming out of school, yeah, we want to make money, but there are many of us that are looking for a purpose, that we're looking to do something good. And that's what the government brings. And I think you sell the passion of the mission that you're going to support, how the work relates to the mission. A lot of folks laugh because I always tell people, I never talk about writing contracts. That's just boring. I talk about the mission that we support. I talk about Border Patrol agents and Secret Service agents. That's whose lives we're impacting. With these buys, we enable them to do that job. And that's what I think motivates people to come in. And I also would say that there's nothing wrong with pursuing a career in industry. It's all in what you're motivated by. But I think a lot of folks coming out of college, yeah, they got bills to pay and the government pays well and the promotion opportunities are good. And here's the other thing about the federal government. It's huge. So you have so much opportunity. You can move around. You can work in different agencies. You can be at Social Security today and be at NASA tomorrow and be here at DHS where the real work is done. No, just kidding. Be at DHS. I got a recruit here. But be at DHS. You can be anywhere you want to be, and you're going to have a great career, and you can move around pretty freely in the government once you're in. So you can change career fields. You know, I wouldn't do that too often, but you can change career fields. So I think working for the government is great. It's all in what you want to do. You're not going to make a lot of money. Industry sometimes can offer money. And I would also say it depends where in the grade scale you are. I think executives in industry get paid better, perhaps, than more junior personnel in government. But that's my opinion.
Well, I think another area that the government excels that is just come to light a little bit more recently is in promotion opportunities for both women and minorities. And when we compare the statistics about what goes on out in private sector versus the OPM statistics about how women and minorities do as SESers, as an example, the government has a much better track record.
I would agree with that. I believe that the federal government does a much better job of embracing diversity. I really do. And I think that as we have embraced diversity, diversity is growing diversity because we believe in all forms of diversity, not just, you know, gender and race and ethnicity, but also even the diversity of experience, the diversity of knowledge. And I think that's what makes our government so interesting, and it makes it so interesting to work in the different agencies. And I think that will continue to grow and develop over the years because the leaders that are coming in were part of that growth of the diversity, like myself, you know, Hispanic female, and we're out there saying we want diversity. We embrace that. This change is happening, and it's good, and it's good for the organization. It's like the hiring of veterans and the bringing in of small businesses to do work and looking for new companies that are developing technology. It's the same concept. It's through all of those changes that we're making that we're going to make ourselves better.
So speaking of future employment requirements and needs, if there's a listener out there that would like to someday be in a position like yours, you know, chief procurement officer of an agency like DHS, what would you recommend? How would they get started? What would they study?
So I would say focus on business administration. That's really where you get started. But there are a lot of colleges and universities now that offer supply chain management and specific acquisition and procurement career fields, both from an undergraduate and a graduate degree standpoint. So I would try to focus in on those areas if that's what you're really interested in. The other thing that I would encourage folks to do is to start pursuing their career as early as possible. You don't have to wait till you graduate. You can do internships. There are all kinds of internships. It's another thing that the federal government does very well. There are many agencies that have internships that start while you're in school, and then there are internships when you graduate from school. The other thing I would say is make sure you study hard. I mean, it's a lot of fun to go out and party and all that good stuff, but make sure you're studying and keep those grades up. But apply for internships. We have the Acquisition Professionals Career Program that we stood up right after we stood up the Department of Homeland Security, in fact, in 2004. Today, we have over 225 folks that have graduated and are a part of our workforce. Our program is a three-year program. You come in, we make sure that you get trained both formally and informally. So we send you through your formal training courses to get certified, but you also have on-the-job training. We have rotational assignments, so you have an opportunity to work outside of the procurement field or within other procurement organizations. And then when you graduate from the program, we hire you. This is an outstanding way for somebody coming out of school, just graduated, to come in and get into the profession. And here's the thing that I always tell folks. Don't focus too much on your job title. I went from procurement into program management, and I mentioned that I worked in IT and I worked in finance. I translated skills. I focused on what were the skill sets, what were the analytical skill sets, the leadership skill sets, the communication skill sets that applied between the two career fields. And that's how I made the choice and made the move and took the chance of changing career fields. I love procurement, and that's why I'm back in it. But you can move around, and you just have to think about your career a little bit differently. Don't focus too much on the job title. But internships is a great way to go, and almost every federal agency now is doing that in multiple career fields.
Today we're talking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. Coming up, we'll find out what Soraya likes to do when she's not working. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Read what's on the minds of your peers and managers. Download our free executive surveys at federalnewsradio.com. Search surveys.
Welcome back to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today we're talking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security.
I know that you've spent an inordinate amount of time, I'm sure, with your work and other work obligations, but for the few hours that you have, you're not working, what do you like to do? Any hobbies, special interests? How do you like to spend your time?
So I'm married and I live out in Fairfax, and my husband and I do like to spend time together. I actually, one of the things that I like to do when I first get home is have a conversation with my husband, believe it or not. I never get tired of talking to him. He's a fun person. But I like to read. I'm an avid reader, and I love good movies, and I am a Game of Thrones enthusiast. So, you know, I'm glued on Sundays when the show's on, or we're catching up on DVR. And of course, I have 2 four-legged children, a cat and a dog, and we like to take our dog out and the cat for walks and that kind of stuff. The other thing we love to do is travel. We do like to travel and we take our vacations. And believe it or not, I am very good at disconnecting. I have an excellent deputy and an excellent team of people that when I decide to take my time off, I can take my time off. And then last but not least, I spend quite a bit of time these days with my parents. I lost my brother recently, so it's just me. And so I try to spend a lot of time with my parents and my other family members, my sister-in-law, and a lot of catching up with some of my cousins from New York that I haven't seen in years. I believe family time is important. And I believe that as we get older, we need to make sure that we spend as much time as we can with the ones we love, because you don't know when they're going to be gone from you. So.
It's so true. Any, I love to travel as well. Any favorite destinations that you visited recently?
So I love Italy, and just name it, Rome, Venice. In fact, we were there for our 20th anniversary, and then we went back close to our 25th anniversary. I'm interested in going to other destinations that I actually haven't been to. Like, I'd love to go to Australia, and we're talking about a trip there. But I love going to Hawaii. We spend time in Hawaii. We've tried to visit each island. And sometimes I just like jumping in the car and taking a nice long drive and going down to Williamsburg and just spending a weekend in Williamsburg. It's just about relaxing. It's about being together. And it's about just seeing, you know, what's out there, what's different, who's out there, what people are doing.
Soraya, you had such a successful career with all the competing priorities in your lives. And women often have to make hard choices. Sometimes those decisions have to either delay or dampen success, or you have a different direction than original plan. Did you make any hard choices, and what strategies did you use to decide what to do?
Well, I've made hard choices, but I guess at the time they didn't seem as hard. You know, now when I look back, I go, well, maybe that was a hard choice. I always weighed the risks of the choices that I made, you know, whether it was changing job or, for example, back in the early 90s when my grandparents got ill, we moved them here and we chose to take care of them ourselves. You know, a nursing home was just not going to be an option. And so I joined with my parents and my brother at the time, and we all took turns taking care. And I spent a lot of my weekends there. And that meant that I couldn't travel. And so I had to stay in one job a little bit longer, perhaps, than I might have liked. But I made do. I mean, I was fine with that. And I never missed a beat at work. And I was okay with perhaps limiting my life, because I think it's all about weighing the options that are available to you. I felt that the time was important for me to spend with my grandparents, and it was fine. I was one of the many breaks that I took about going to school. But then once, you know, they passed away, and after I took a year of hiatus, you know, having fun going traveling all over the place, I went back to school and finished. So I think what I always tell folks when you're confronted with difficult choices is you got to weigh your options, and you got to consider not just yourself, but consider what's going on around you. Consider your family, the impact on your family, the impact on your friends. Consider the environment you're working in. If you're not working in a situation that is beneficial to you from a family standpoint, then maybe you got to look for another option. One of the things that I try to do as a leader is to create a work environment where our employees feel comfortable, that when life happens, we're going to understand it. That's really important. And so what I try to tell people is understand your work environment, understand your own personal priorities, and understand the priorities of those around you. Family is important. I don't know that I could have been successful. I've been married for 28 years, and I don't know that I could have been successful in this career if my husband wasn't so supportive of my career. Sometimes he stepped back so that I could step forward, and vice versa. So I think that that's really important.
So, Soraya, I have to ask you, I mean, I know that you've had such a great career to date already, and you're only a year or so into your current role, but what's next for Soraya?
So with 36 years of service, probably somebody's going to boot me out. No, just kidding. I am eligible for retirement, but when I signed on to take this job, I said I would definitely be here for 3 to 5 years, because I think it is important to put the time in and make sure that the changes that I put in place, the things that we're doing as a team, have a long-lasting effect. And then what's next? I don't know. Maybe I'll retire and go off and teach, or maybe the next job will come along and I'll say, oh, let me take a shot at that. I don't know. I just know that I'm always passionate about the next opportunity. And I care about helping others. I care about sharing what I've learned. But I also, you know, who knows? Let's see what happens in the next couple of years. I just know that today I'm very honored and proud to be the Chief Procurement Officer at DHS. I have a great team surrounding me, and I look forward to working with them for the next few years.
And we're very thankful for 30 plus years that your public service. I have to ask you a question that we ask all our guests, but if you were to go back in time to your younger self as you were graduating or just getting that typist job, what advice would you give her to help achieve this enormous success you've had both in your professional and your personal life?
I would tell her what I tell myself every day and what I tell everyone around me. It's about the learning. Keep learning. Keep trying to find ways to learn new things. Because as long as you're learning, you're growing, and you're going to be a better person every time. So it's about the learning. That's what I would tell her. Keep learning.
Today in the studio, we've been talking with Soraya Correa, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
I'm Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum, founders of Accelerated Government Strategies. Learn more about AGS and the work they do to help accelerate your business plans for public sector at excelgovstrat.com. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Women of Washington, Wednesday afternoons at 1 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.